Welcome to Roots for Growth podcast. I'm Anna Bell, and we're here to have great conversations about growing through change, resilience, and mindful living. The aim is to spark your curiosity, share learning and inspiration, and connect you with what's important in your life. And I'm delighted this morning to be joined by Kim McLeod. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Anna.
Great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And I will do a wee introduction. So Kim McLeod is the co-founder of Indie Authors World and helps to make writers' dreams come true by turning their words into beautiful books that sell all around the world. As the number one best-selling author of From Heartbreak to Happiness, Kim knows it is possible to live a happy life even after experiencing the great loss of her son Callum. Love, kindness, connection, and happiness are the pillars from which she gains her strength. In 2021, Kim fulfilled a lifelong ambition to live by the sea and now works from home within beautiful surroundings that she's extremely grateful for. What a lovely place to start. Just imagining you sitting there by the sea, Kim, and I know I've seen some of the pictures. It looks absolutely beautiful. And also, I will add that Kim and Sinclair supported me to self-publish my book. And I'm thinking that might be a place to start, Kim, is you became an author yourself as a result of experiences in your life. I wonder if you'd like to start with telling us a bit about that and how you came to be supporting other people with their books.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it starts with my husband, first of all. It's Sinclair's kind of first story. He had always written books, right? Or had written lots of stuff all through our married life, had never finished anything. So we had lots of half-finished novels and scripts and lots of different things. And it took Callum's death for him to really focus on what was important, and that was one of the pivotal things for him, shifting back to what was important. Mm-hmm. And he decided that he was going to finish writing a book. That was the first, I'm going to finish writing this book. And he gave me the first few chapters to read, and I was saying, you have to finish this book. He writes crime fiction. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. And I was like, I want to know what happens with this. Mm-hmm. So because it was dedicated to Callum, this was the thing as well, he was dedicating this book to Callum, so that gave him the momentum, I think, to make sure he was definitely going to finish it. And also, you know, because Callum's loss had really kind of shaken us up to focus on what's really important, mm-hmm. in life, and he decided that, you know, this was something that was really important to him, so that was going to be the focus. So he did finish that first book. We actually self-published it because, you know, and this was over 10 years, about 11 years ago. Mm. So it took, you know, when you didn't know anything about publishing, as many people don't, you know, they kind of send it out to agents and publishers, and it was just tumbleweed, you know, nothing happened with it. But again, that determination, because it was dedicated to Callum, it was a case of, it's not just going to sit in a drawer or on a computer, it's getting out there. And I think it's got a great mix of technical and artistic, you know, kind of talent, and so he knew, right, I can figure out the whole self-publishing stuff. He got that book out there, and then basically people asked us, oh, could you help us? And that's kind of how things kind of came along for the whole us getting involved and working with other writers. Mm-hmm. And then I was approached by one of the, she was actually the local, she used to be the editor for the local newspaper, Christine McPherson, that you know as well. And Christine at that point, you know, was working there, and she kept saying to me, Kim, I've seen lots of stuff about you, because at that point I was writing lots of things about happiness, and we were doing different things around, you know, just sharing Callum's story. And she kept saying to me, I want you to write, you know, you need to write a book. And I kept saying, oh no, I'm the blatherer, Sinclair's the writer, I'm the blatherer, like, you know. And she kept saying, no, you know, you really need to write a book. And and it's quite a kind of funny story, really, because she was going off on holiday, and I was in the midst at that point of creating lots of things around happiness. And I had started something called Scotland's Happiness Day, and we were doing these big events. And she was just about to head off to Portugal on holiday. And I sent her a message and said, right, I've decided I'm writing my book now. And this was just about the beginning of April. And I said, but I need to have it finished and published and in my hand, because I'm actually launching it at our Happiness Day event, which is in November.
Oh, right.
And she's going, I'm going on holiday. And I said, fine.
It's nothing like a deadline.
Well, exactly. Exactly. It's fine. So yeah, so we did it. Actually, that was a thing, and that was how the kind of From Heartbreak to Happiness, you know, book actually then got written, got out, and you know, I told that story. But if, I think if it hadn't been for Christine really kind of pushing me to kind of tell the story and put it in writing, I doubt that I would actually ever have really done it. You know, so I'm much more of a blatherer than a natural writer. That's why I love to encourage everybody else to be writing.
Oh, I think we can blather on a page as well, and that's a nice style of writing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm wondering, was there a moment that you knew that you were going to, or how did you know you were going to write a book?
I think it was a recognition that the journey that I had been on did need to be told. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after Callum died, and it was meningitis, so it was, you know, it was very sudden. He was almost 13 years old when he died. And I remember, I think I was very lucky that I had a lot of tools in my tool bag to help, you know, like know that there was a different way that I could react to it. It didn't mean I couldn't just flick a switch and it was all gone, but I knew that I had tools that I could use to react to try and work through the grief in a sort of healthy way and release the emotion and everything. But just after, probably about a month or two after Callum had died, I remember reading two separate stories of other mums who had lost children who had gone on to commit suicide because they had no hope that life could be better effectively. I mean, and they had left other children. So I suppose at the back of my mind, I always knew that I wanted to share, as I was doing in my happiness clubs and things, to share that there was another way of coping with really difficult, tragic circumstances, and that you could have hope and life could be better. But I was really doing that with the, you know, in my most comfortable way, which was gather people together, try and share my experiences with that, do little bits on, you know, more face-to-face than actually writing. But by the time, you know, I knew that we were going to be doing this big event, and it was like, okay, do you know what, if I'm going to be standing on the stage, and we'd done a couple of kind of, you know, a couple of these events before that, but this was going to be our biggest one. And I thought, if I'm going to be standing on this stage, this is the time really to have this book and be able to share that this is the story. And it can, because a book can reach so many more people than you can if you're at that point, we weren't really doing things on Zoom and, you know, in big conferences, you were doing stuff face to face and those people that could be around you.
Yeah. And listening to you say that, the word that came into my mind there was courage. Like, there's something about having been through an experience like that in life, I would imagine, and I can from what I've experienced too, finding the courage to be able to do something because they have the perspective of things that have already happened. And I wonder, what was important to you about putting on that or happiness event? You've described some of it. For you, how would you sum up the purpose of that for you?
I was really on a mission. This was my and it's interesting. I'm coming back to that stuff that I'd let go of through. I was definitely coming back to the fore again just now. But I was on a mission at that point to make Scotland a happier place. Right? So it was, and it had come from the view that I had after Callum died. I had this belief that he could still see us, and I wanted him to be able to see me as the happy mum that he'd known, and that us as a family were going to be happy again. So my first kind of route was actually to try and help us kind of through the grief and find a better way of living with it, and to be, you know, and to be happy in our, you know, in our existence for the rest of our life. Otherwise, you know, there wasn't just one victim from that meningitis, that, you know, the ripples from that would have been, you know, really, really difficult for everybody. So that mission for me to improve our happiness, and then putting all those things into practice that I had been learning over years with personal development and spirituality, self-help stuff, you know, lots of therapies and isms and stuff that I had just been on the journey of. I then knew that those worked because, you know, it was one thing of working with people, you know, who were experiencing stuff and coming and talking to you, you know, as you know, when you're then trying to help somebody else through something.
Yeah.
Than having to actually put all of those things into practice for yourself. So when I knew these worked, when I knew that I could then be, you know, I was then was genuinely happier, I was really on a mission to try and help other people to realise that we can't control the things that happen to us, but we can choose how we react. But for me, it was about giving people tools and tips and techniques, and not just a theory. It had to be practical. And that was the thing for these happiness day stuff. It was right, okay, come along, come together, other people. We were doing, it wasn't just the sort of like personal development workshop stuff. It was, there was music, there were you know, we had laughter stuff going on, we had you know, like, you know, people selling stuff, doing different talks. It was just a real celebration of life, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And that was what was really important to me, that what I was sharing, I suppose, was the, you know, that you could have hope. And it goes back to thinking of those two mums in particular, mm-hmm. who left here because they didn't have hope. Uh-huh. So that's always been quite important to me.
Mm. And it strikes me as significant to have the will and the drive and the heartfelt, I would describe that wanting to do something that supports other people, when you're actually on a journey yourself with finding your way in life again. And you spoke about writing your book, and yes, there was a deadline and everything. And what was the experience like of writing a whole book by yourself?
It was quite cathartic because I used my journal. So I started writing to Callum just after he died. So when I started to write my book, I went back through all my journals, and I still write to him now. You know, I journal a lot. And for me, it was a way of sort of processing everything that was going on, all the feelings that I had, things that you wouldn't necessarily say to somebody else because it was just so overwhelming. But, you know, it was then written in the journal. So I wanted to be honest about my journey. So although people meet me and they think, oh yeah, here she is, Kim's really, really happy and all this sort of stuff. But I wanted to be honest that this wasn't a, you know, click your fingers, put a smile on and pretend the world is fine.
Yeah.
It was about sharing the reality of what that journey had been like. Mm-hmm. So when I sat down to write my book, and it was a few years then after Callum had died, I went back through and pulled out my journals. And there's something quite, what's the right word I would say? I mean, it's quite rewarding, I suppose, to look back and realise how far you've come.
Mm-hmm.
And also quite emotional reading, you know, how difficult, you know, how bad I was feeling, you know, at the time. And there's some bits that you couldn't actually read because obviously I'd been crying as I was writing, and it was just, you know, the pages were all all blurred. When I then phoned Christy and said, yep, I'm going to write this book now. For me, it was working out, what did I want to share? What did I want that person to feel like who was actually going to be reading the book, mm-hmm. that they were going to get something practical from it? And as well as, so it wasn't, yes, take them through my journey, but also give them some, you know, that little bit of, you know, a little bit of hope and a few tools to use along the way. And I just kind of sort of mapped out the, what I felt my journey had been into sort of chapters. And then, you know, the kind of practical thing was I was working with Christina. I was saying, okay, I'm going to send you this chapter then.
Ah, yes.
Because, I do need a deadline. You know, I'm somebody that definitely needs a deadline. And that was the way that it got. I knew that I would get it done, you know, was committing to sending her a chapter at a time.
Yeah. And since then, you have supported more than 100 books coming into the world. And that's probably
we're tallying up, and we're well over, I think we're about 160 or something, 170. It's just growing, that our accidental business, because that's what effectively Indie Authors World became, was our accidental business.
And you know, I've just written about it this morning. I'm a firm believer that if you take the step towards something, it's like the path will appear. Just having that faith to take a step forward and go, all right, okay, there's the next thing we're going to do. And sometimes things come from a meaningful thought, an idea, and that's one of your most recent projects, isn't it? I wonder if you could tell us a bit about Callum's legacy.
So Callum has very much been at the heart of Indie Authors. You know, that was the thing. I genuinely believe if he hadn't died, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Sinclair would have found the reason to finish a book. I wouldn't have written mine. We wouldn't have got into this. So Callum's always been at the heart of stuff. And we've done a couple of sort of fundraising projects. We've published a couple of books kind of in his name. You know, we did one for his 21st. We did another Act of Kindness Challenge and we published this. But we really wanted to kind of do something that had a bit of a bigger impact. So we set up Callum's Legacy, and that was to support young writers, sort of young people, mm-hmm. to kind of like to write and publish a book. We hoped that what we would do wasn't just about the publication. It was about bringing people together to give them confidence, mm-hmm. Camaraderie, friendship, encourage their entrepreneurial ideas as well. Mm. That, you know, thinking that people can work in the creative industries, because there's generally a kind of tendency to push people towards, you know, be an accountant or, you know, be a lawyer or be a doctor, you know, sort of thing. And say, well, actually, there are lots of people who can really benefit from working in the creative field. And there are real jobs as well in the creative, you know, within creative fields. So we offered out 12 places, fully funded. So we were funding this entirely through our business. So thanks to wonderful people like you, Anna, who came and actually, you know, like paid us to help you produce your book. We took some of the money that we got from each of those services, mm-hmm. and, you know, put them in to fund this. And then we gave up our time, and then we had a couple of other people who came and helped us. And we started to work with these young people to kind of just get them into creativity, basically, you know, creating ideas and writing different stories. And we're just about to launch the book. Mm-hmm. It's been a long project, interrupted by, oh dear, the dreaded, COVID situation. Yeah. And so much then just shifted, because the vision we had for how this project was going to run and the reality for what happened, mm-hmm. Two very, very different, very, very different things. Mm. So,
yes. And so when's the launch for that?
So we're launching, and the book's called A New Hope. Mm. That's what I was talking about. So A New Hope, which there's two meanings to it. One is Callum was a huge Star Wars fan. So for any Star Wars fans out there, they'll make that connection.
Lovely.
And the other was it was just about new hope for these young people. So it's going to be launched on the 11th of February. We're doing an event. So we ended up with five writers. Mm-hmm. So Will, we've got Will, Niamh, James, Emma and Gabriel. The five mm-hmm. of them ended up kind of writing their sort of short stories, and Emma writes poetry. So we've got an anthology put together into print, and they're all going to have their own individual ebooks as well. So the 11th of February, we're going to do a book launch in Bishopriggs in the Woodhill Evangelical Church, uh-huh. because we might actually manage to have a physical event.
Yes.
The space is big enough, we can actually get some people. And it was so important for them, you know, it's just been a journey with them, you know, and they've been such an inspiration to us, because they've kept going, uh-huh. even when we had to move to Zoom, you know, and those five young people, though we'd offered out 12, we had various people, we knew some would drop out, but those five were there from day one, and they so bonded and were so supportive and encouraging of each other. Mm-hmm. Through all of the stuff that went on, through COVID, through missing birthdays and all the stuff, you know, and yes. moves through from leaving school into university and college, and mm-hmm. you know, so they've really been a very supportive little community for each other, and it's really I'm really pleased that we're now getting to kind of celebrate. Eventually, we managed to get this book done for you.
Yes, and I'm imagining it from their point of view, having people gather that they can see. In a room beside them,
yes.
and the atmosphere of being in a room with people for them, even without saying a word, that's feedback and encouragement for them, isn't it? And of course, they'll get to speak to people as well.
So I'm so looking forward to it. So yeah, sometimes you can think that the project was a lot longer delayed than we had hoped, but we've now got to this, and we can actually have we're going to hopefully, unless, fingers crossed, nothing else happens between now and the 11th of February, but that we can actually have this event for them. So yes. Timing, you know, divine timing and all that.
Absolutely. And talking of which, then what's next for you, Kim? What are you working on at the moment?
Well, I have been sort of working on a second book for me, which is sharing the spiritual story alongside so my kind of communications with Callum and what he's been, because we do communicate, and what he shares and tells me. So that's still, it's a bit of a slow burner. Again, I need a deadline. So Christine, you'll need to come and tell me when I need I need another conference. That is my thing. I need a conference. Because that's the other exciting thing, I think, for me, is I have a real passion for people who are writing and sharing their knowledge and wisdom and experiences that can help other people. So we are looking to really kind of develop a little more into, I mean, we've always worked with people who are producing things in this kind of self-help, you know, personal development world, but I really want to expand that this year. So we're just looking at the kind of opportunities, possibilities to kind of bring in routes for people to come in who want to then write and be able to support them with that, but also the events side, you know, and really if we can focus on, you know, like the sort of, you know, bigger in-person events as well as the online stuff. You know, I so love, like I say, that interaction with people physically is so much better for me, definitely. And looking to see what we can do to really kind of shine a light and coming back to creating more hope, creating opportunity for people, you know, giving folk an idea that you've watched, you know, because we know, like, we read a book for something, we're searching for an answer to something or help with a problem for something, and then we read a book because that can be the starting point. And I just think that all the work that I was doing before with Scotland's Happiness Day and my desire to make the world a happier place and actually being able to help people with create and produce books, we're going to bring those two things together this year and do a bit more of a focus on that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm sure you've provided lots of insights and inspiration for everyone who's listening. And I love how you speak from the heart and all these values that you spoke about, it just shines through. So thank you so much for joining me, Kim, and for your support with publishing my book. And future ones as well. I'm going to say plural and we'll just leave it there.
Exactly. There's more to come from you, Anne, I'm sure.
I'm committed now.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's lovely. And I love what you're doing. And I loved your book. It was a fabulous book to work on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. So thanks to everybody for listening. This has been Roots for Growth podcast, and we'll see you next time. Bye.